Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoff, and today's guest is Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum, who is well known to many of you as the author of From Fatigue to Fantastic. He has a great website at endfatigue.com. Lots of useful resources there for sufferers of CFS and FMS, fibromyalgia syndrome. And he's also got a great popular new free smartphone app, Cures A to Z. That's Cures A-Z. You can download it at your Android website or iTunes. And in part two, I wanted to turn our attention to something which you are now evincing interest in, which is Alzheimer's disease. Tell us a little bit about that.
One of the things that we'd like to focus on would be those things that are poorly treated by standard medicine, for which natural medicine has very effective treatments and help available. We had talked about CFS and fibromyalgia that our research showed was very treatable. And one of the things that really bugs me is how we approach Alzheimer's and dementia in this country. We have 5 million Americans with Alzheimer's, roughly another 5 who have dementia of other causes. But the only thing we're doing is looking at what the most expensive gold mine blockbuster medication we can come up with that's a magic bullet that can help it. And we forget, it's anytime you have organ failure with a kidney, you can take out one whole kidney and do fine. You can take out a third of the other kidney and do fine. But that last 10% is the difference between healthy function and dialysis. The brain is no different. You can lose function of a large percent of the neurons and still do fine, but that last 5% is the difference between being able to take care of yourself and not recognizing your kids. And that's why people with Alzheimer's go in and out. Some days they'll be pretty good, and other days they just don't even recognize anybody. And what that tells us is if we do a little bit of a tune-up and improve function 5%, which is not hard to do, you can see a dramatic improvement in Alzheimer's and dementia. Now, the problem with that is that that's not an expensive medication and there's no profit in it, and therefore, the medical establishment is not geared to looking at it. No bad guys. I mean, it's not like they're trying to suppress it or anything. It's just that's not where the money is, so that's not where they're going after. So let's take a look at a little statistic. We talked about 5 million Americans have been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. Repeated studies have shown that 30 to 50% of those people on autopsy have no Alzheimer's at all, never had it, which meant that they had something else, often very, very treatable. So, you know, we think of Alzheimer's as this nothing you can do about that, you know, kind of thing, except to buy expensive long-term insurance. No, there's a lot that can't be done. And by doing a simple tune-up, we're betting that you will be able to show marked improvement and, in some cases, recovery of people from Alzheimer's and dementia. So we have a study now that's enrolling people from all around the country. If you have a family member who has been diagnosed with dementia or Alzheimer's by a neurologist and is able to be out of the home with help, they don't have to know what's going on, but they're not bedbound, basically. They likely would be able to be in the study and get treated.
Wow. So this is something that is made available via your website. People can, you're recruiting and you're signing people up?
Yes, and then the consultations can be by phone, and we work with our physicians as well as needed. And for information, let me give a phone number, and then we're going to talk about what we do. It's 410-573-5389. That's my office number. You'll get a voicemail, leave a message, and my staff will get back to you. So 410-573-5389.
Great. So the people can get in direct contact with your office, and then you'll vet them according to their, you know, suitability for the study. And the study hopefully will be made available when?
As soon as we've recruited and completed treatment of 45 people.
Okay, so it's going to be 45 people, and what duration do you contemplate? Because I think, you treat somebody for a month or 90 days, 6 months. A six-month treatment. And the treatments will consist of what? Just supplements, or are there dietary recommendations, lifestyle recommendations? Is it a comprehensive program, or just assessing the effect of a few supplements?
It's fairly comprehensive, but not difficult. We talked about the SHINE protocol for fibromyalgia. This is called the MIND protocol, M-I-N-D. So M is metabolism, and that means optimizing thyroid, sometimes adrenal function, estrogen, progesterone, even testosterone. So the studies are very clear that having a thyroid that's off increases the risk of dementia anywhere from 200 to 800% in men having a low normal testosterone or lower testosterone is associated with dramatic increases in the risk of Alzheimer's and dementia. But for some reason, we think of once they have it, that's no longer playing a role. And that's absurd. So you really need to go ahead and optimize thyroid function, optimize hormone functions in general. So that's a key part of what metabolism entails.
Wow. Okay. So it's going. It'll be of 6 months duration, and I don't know. Somehow, I have a feeling that there's a book in this. That somewhere down the line, you'll be writing a book on the subject. I just have that feeling. A little birdie told me that. I don't know, but that sounds like a fascinating project that you're undertaking, and a great opportunity for some select individuals to get involved in. Demonstrating, hopefully, the efficacy of this type of program. So great. All right, let's turn our attention back to chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. You've got you're going to be coming to New York. You're going to be giving a talk for an hour and 15 minutes, which seems like a lot of time. But it's a very short time in which you have to compress your message. What are some of the high points that, without giving away the punchline, what are some of the high points that you're going to hit on with that audience of health professionals in New York at the International Health Symposium?
Ron, you know me. I'm happy to give away the punchline. Basically, this is an energy crisis where you have hypothalamic dysfunction. That accounts for why you have this wide array of symptoms. But we're going to talk about what's near and dear to my heart, which is how to get people well. So we're going to go through SHINE, and we're going to take each piece of it, teach people how to apply it. And Monday, when they're back in their office, they'll be able to take that first person that walks in the door and get them well, or at least get them feeling a whole lot better. No secrets.
That's great.
One other thing, too. One interesting statistic to wrap up the Alzheimer's piece we're talking about.
Yep.
You know, in India, Alzheimer's is 70% less common than in the United States. And it's been traced back to the curcumin.
Yes, indeed.
Food.
That's interesting, because you mentioned in part one, you talked about curamin as a great treatment for the pain of fibromyalgia. But, when they say that these diseases are all in your head, they're not too far off. And, you know that curcumin crosses the blood-brain barrier to some extent. So, hey, how about that?
It has dramatic benefits. There are hundreds of studies right now with cancer because what happened, there are thousands of studies of curcumin being effective, but it was useless because unless you ate an Indian diet, you couldn't get enough absorption. And then somebody discovered if you add the essential oil called turmeric back in, you increase your absorption 700%. Suddenly, instead of taking 28 curcumin pills or 250 turmeric pills, you take four pills a day and you get the full effect. And that opened up over 1,000 studies. With the Alzheimer's, one of the many treatments we're doing will be to give something called Curamed, because for this one, brand matters. So Curamed, two twice a day, even one twice a day, I think can be very helpful for people who have Alzheimer's. And also for cancer. I start people with cancer. So curcumin is a remarkable herb. So I just wanted to mention that because it's now gone wide open because of the new research.
Right. And then the key, though, is to make it as bioavailable as possible and to help it cross the blood-brain barrier, which sometimes limits the absorption of certain active ingredients. So that's important. All right. So, you know, you've got an important message to share with the public, which you're doing via your books and via your new smartphone app, also with health practitioners, and you want them to be out there like a phalanx of useful health practitioners to address all these problems. So what are some of the – what's today's intelligent medicine call to action in terms of some of the things that you want people to access?
Well, let me give a shameless plug. For those of you with Fatigue Syndrome or Fibromyalgia, two books. If you want the simple, easy read, my book, The Fatigue and Fibromyalgia Solution, good place to begin. That's like reading Vogue or Cosmo in terms of – it's a fun, easy, light read. But it'll give you – all the information that you need to understand the disease and get well. And for those who want more of a textbook with hundreds of scientific studies and the rest, then I would go to the book From Fatigue to Fantastic. So that's a good way for people to get the information they need. But I want to give a new concept. If we're talking about a concept that's really important in health and healing, there's so many medical myths. This has been an awful year for medical myths getting busted, because, you know, the myth that salt is bad. No, if you salt restrict to the government guidelines, you die younger, much younger. So it helps the Social Security system, but not you. You know, eggs raise cholesterol. No, they don't. Chocolate is bad to you. No, it's a health food. Coffee and tea are bad to you. No, in moderation. The studies are very clear. They're very, very healthy things. And now the biggest health myth of all.
Cholesterol.
Standard medicine. No. The biggest health myth is that if something can help you, your doctor knows it.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Okay. And there's this thing that in medical school, well, you remember, we were given the impression that 98% of what could help people was part of medicine or its allied slave professions, you know, that are controlled by medicine. And anything else that could help people, there may be a few cute pearls, but by and large, if somebody said they could help you when MD medicine didn't know how, they were obviously quacks, preying on the weak and the, you know, the fearful, who we needed to protect the government against, so, or protect the you know, the patient from. So there's this myth that only things that doctors knew help, that everything your doctor, that could help you, your doctor knew. So when you went to the doctor and they said, the doctor said, there's nothing we can do to help you, you went home to die.
Right. It was really really definitive, and, you know, that was like the Supreme Court, the court of last appeal.
And now what we're realizing is that medicine knows, maybe standard medicine at least, maybe 15 to 20% of what can help people. And the other rest of the toolkit, that other 80%, is known by a host of other healthcare providers outside of medicine, which means that nowadays, if your doctor says, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do for you, Tom, thank you for being honest, and go next door to somebody else. So there's so much that can be helped. It's getting to the point now. I'm starting to think that there's very little that can't be helped as long as you have the fairly complete toolkit.
Oh, that's wonderful. And so you offer a lot of different entry levels for people to get information or to get care. On the one hand, people can read your books. It can also take the self-questionnaire at endfatigue.com and help sort of prioritize issues related to their health challenge. But when it comes to health practitioners, you see patients, but I think that's sort of at the top of the food chain. But you also have a group of physicians that you have worked with and trained that can offer your methodology. Is that correct? The SHINE protocol?
There's a group called the Practitioner Alliance Network. And these are over 400 practitioners from across the healthcare spectrum that we brought together to simply compare notes. It's like Facebook for practitioners. It's free. People can come on and they can compare notes and ask questions. What do you find helpful? And I have a person with this. I can't help them. How do you help them? And it's just getting people, you know, from all different backgrounds to talk to each other. We do have an online course for health practitioners, and some people with a disease who aren't practitioners choose to do it as well. We don't keep it in a secret mystery temple somewhere. It's open for those who want to do it. And it's an 8-hour online course that will make people an expert in how to treat this illness effectively. Basically, when you say I'm looking to create an army, that's exactly what I'm looking to do.
Exactly.
I mean, an army of health practitioners, and starting with the people themselves who have the illness. They're their best ally.
Right. It's really to empower patients, but also to create. I know you can't standardize this because every patient is unique, but there's a series of steps that you take in looking at a patient like this, and you've done an excellent job in summarizing it, breaking it down, and making it so that it's almost as easy as the PDR. You know, one of the things that I criticize my conventional colleagues about is that it's cookie-cutter medicine. Because, you know, for every syndrome, there is, quote, a correct treatment. And, you know, nowadays, the computer will spit it out at you. And if you deviate from it, your insurance company won't underwrite the costs. But we, in alternative medicine, we have to fight back to some extent by creating useful protocols that are easy to follow. Because not all physicians have the experience, the time, the expertise to investigate it on their own.
Well, there's an interesting thing, Ron, that there's many things that can be learned quickly, yet take a lifetime to master. And that's where the healing arts is going to. And there are many things that you can have an algorithm, and it's perfectly good, and will cover most of the key physical aspects. That's what I've done on Cures A to Z. On the other hand, then there's the nuances. And those go into great depth, including the mind-body component, which then you can take probably many lifetimes to learn. So there's nothing wrong, you know, with having algorithms, as long as you're not locked into them and you don't lose sight of the person you're treating at the same time because of it.
Right. Can't be slavishly adhering to them. I just wanted, before we conclude, I just wanted you to comment on something that is a little bit off the beaten track from the standpoint, certainly of mainstream medical thought, that you've taken an interest in, and you feel it may have some value, and that's something called NAET, which is a type of therapy that, it seems, you know, really departs from a conventional medical model.
It's a funny thing, you know. In medicine, we're taught biochemistry, and in fact, the entire Western medical world focused on biochemistry and pretty much suppressed biophysics, and this is just looking at the research that you could actually see where it happened over the last century. In the eastern part of the planet, the Orient, they couldn't afford medications. They focused on biophysics, things like acupressure, acupuncture. Now those two worlds are coming together as the world gets smaller, and so we have this bias towards the biochemistry. And it was funny, but there's this treatment called NAT, which combines a mix of applied kinesiology and acupressure to eliminate sensitivities, allergies. When I first heard, I used to have horrible ragweed allergies, and there's this gal in town who did the NAT, and I was miserable, and she said, let me teach you, I can make that go away. And I just sniffled and snuffed at her and said, that voodoo is not going to help my allergy, leave me alone, you know? And one day I was especially miserable, and she said, stop being a nitwit and let me treat you. And it really 20 minutes later, it was as if somebody had turned off a faucet in my nose.
Wow.
And it was like, as the all-knowing doctor, I said, that was not supposed to happen. But mostly in medicine, we're lucky. You know, if we stumble over the truth, we get up quickly, brush ourselves off, and walk away before any real harm is done. But I have a bad habit when I want to see what I fell over there. I flew to California, met the person who developed the technique.
That's the Nambutrapod?
Devi Nambutrapod. Came back to Annapolis, married the gal who did it on me. Our funded a study using NAT for autism because we had seen little autistic kids going from nonverbal to being little chatty Cathys with the autism, and we checked around and found this was a common thing. In the study, the 23 of the 30 children were back in regular school at the end of 1 year of NAT treatment, as opposed to 0 out of 30 in the untreated control group. The journal actually went to the extraordinary length of allowing us to put the study online so people don't have to pay $30 a view. And you can go to naep.com, find over 10,000 health practitioners around the world, and see the study itself. So, you know, I like to study things where natural medicine has dramatic benefits and where standard medicine doesn't know much. And because to me, that's where the mana is for helping people. So it's a lot of fun.
Well, I think the foregoing really sums up your approach to medicine, which is that you're conventionally trained and expert at all the basic stuff that we studied, but your mind is open to a wide array of both conventional and alternative therapies, and you'll take in an eclectic fashion bits and pieces of each to get your patients well. That's where it's at.
No. And that gets me into so much trouble, but it's fun.
It does, because, what you're talking about is considered voodoo by a lot of people, but, hey, it's making a difference, so who cares? All right.
It's round. What can I say? I don't care if people think it's flap. It's round.
Well, you've made a difference in the lives of lots of people, and you've enlightened a lot of health practitioners. So keep up the great work, and we look forward to your appearance in New York on Saturday, the upcoming Saturday. I guess that's, what does that make this? The 21st, I think. Saturday the 21st at the IHS Health Symposium. And I'll be there in the audience. I'm doing my radio show in the afternoon, but I'll swing by there, and I'll be there to say hello. So thanks very much for joining us, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. And the website, endfatigue.com, I recommend it very highly. Check it out. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.